Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. My favorite hour of the week, no doubt. Every morning I awaken fresh, clean as a slate, not knowing which way I'm going to go, and then it comes to me. Hormonal balance. Yes, you have a sense of that word. Men, women, when the testosterone drops, when the estrogen dominates, ladies, when you get the hot flashes, gentlemen, when you realize you're getting man boobs, and those muscles just don't stay hard like they used to. To the tip of your tongue goes the word hormonal balance, and that's for most Americans, if you're lucky, you even know the term. The issue today, my main contention and why I do this show, is our version of it, your version of it, needs to enrich itself. Because right now, as I think some of my colleagues would agree, for the most part, if you understand the word hormonal balance, it means get your hormones tested, figure out which ones are high and which ones are low, and then take something to bring them up or hopefully bring them down. And that's, if you're educated, what most of the American public understands is hormone balance as a means of countering hormonal imbalance. Wrong is my point. Not enough. Not good enough. Not deep enough. Not effective enough. I wouldn't do this show if I saw those approaches work. Yeah, now sometimes they work. They can work a little bit. Sometimes they can work a lot. But by and large, ladies, gentlemen, if your version of hormonal balance is a blood test that someone gives you, or hopefully a saliva test that someone does for you, or that you do for yourself, aka through the Canary Club, say, Google up Canary Club. You can get these hormones tested through the saliva by yourself. You don't need anybody to do it to help you do it. You can go straight from the consumer, at least in California, straight to the entity called the Canary Club, and you can find out what your own hormones look like, your panel. And if your version of that is to find out, again, if your estrogen is high or low, if your progesterone, your DHEA, your pregnenolone, your T3, your T4, your TSH, your adrenal profiles, cortisol levels throughout the day, if your version of hormonal balance, because you think you're hormonally imbalanced, is to get those blood tests, those saliva tests, and just look at them and then say, okay, now how do I fix these with herbs or pharmaceuticals or whatever? Please listen to this show, because I got to tell you, I've been involved in it for many years. I'm not satisfied at all with the results on the overall. You know, better to light a candle than curse the darkness, my father used to say. Okay, fine. So if that's all you know, it's all you know. But there's lots more to know. And so let's begin the show. As always, get to the website, please. StraightTalk.cc, not .com, cc, two T's. Straight Talk, one word. If you're driving, don't do that. Listen and imagine. I'll try to compensate you, the rest of you, if you can, get on the website so you can learn with the pictures and the articles. Lots of articles today I posted to the show. If I can't get to them, you get to them. All right. There's a couple of people with some wonderful statements, I think pretty much in agreement with my point of view about the right and wrong way to treat hormonal imbalance, particularly get to that one. It's by a guy named Chris Kesser. He's an acupuncturist. I think you should get to know his website. I think he does amazing work. I don't know him personally, but his stuff is stellar. And get on the top of the website for this show, show 281, click on his article and read his perspective on it. And I think you'll find it very much in alignment with mine, which is, let's put these blood tests to the side after we do them and try to get to the fundamental drivers of how you balance your hormones. Okay? So education, as always. So you got to dig a little deeper, what we don't like to do sometimes. But we will do it because you're you. I'm me. Get to picture number one. There it is. Picture number one, that gives you a sense of where your hormones come from. And, of course, where do they come from? Cholesterol. Most of your hormones start with cholesterol. That's right. That stuff that causes heart disease. We don't want too much of that, right? Well, maybe not right. Ladies, gentlemen, those of you who don't have the fat thing going on, you've got the opposite. Bulimic, anorexic, super skinny athletes. Once the body fat gets too low, you don't have enough cholesterol to make your hormones. And ladies, even if you're getting your menses, even if you're getting your periods, that doesn't mean you're not under duress anyway. Once the body fat goes too low, once the cholesterol goes too low, you don't have the steroid base, the cholesterol through which to make your pregnenolone, your progesterone, and so on and so forth. Now, if you look at this picture, what you're going to realize is progesterone is the mother hormone. It really is. Well, we could say pregnenolone, but really, progesterone. Progesterone births your cortisol. Progesterone births your testosterone. Progesterone births your estrogen. Cholesterol to progesterone is the way you should be thinking. And that's a very important point to absorb now, because I'm going to get into a couple of things that happen that represent some of the fundamental reasons why your testosterone or your estrogen or your progesterone are not where they're at or supposed to be at. So let's just hold that picture number one for a moment and keep in mind that what we're going to start to do now is get off this sort of myopic, more superficial way to balance hormone and get into causes. So a little education there, picture one. Now look at picture two. Now picture two is a whammy, because what you're seeing is the structural formula of cholesterol, estradiol, testosterone, progesterone, aldosterone, and cortisol are almost all the same. Now that's a big one. You got to take that in there. It's a big one. Why is that a big one? Because the receptor sites on the cells, the receptor sites that receive these hormones, how do those receptor sites know the difference between any of these hormones when they all look the same? And the truth is, often they don't. So, cholesterol, and then all these different hormones that more or less look like cholesterol, and the estradiol and the testosterone and the cortisol and the progesterone and the aldosterone, they kind of all look the same. And that's if you're fortunate enough to be on the site now, picture two, you can see that. So the point is, when your receptor site is clamoring for progesterone, it may not realize when cortisol is binding instead of progesterone. Something called competitive inhibition. Competitive inhibition. So a part of glandular medicine, of endocrinology, really a part of how we call, well, the medicine or the science that studies binding sites, receptor sites on the cell. Anyone that studies receptor sites, how the cell receives chemicals on its membrane and then throws them into the cytoplasm and then throws them into the DNA so the DNA can talk to the hormone. Anybody that studies that studies what you call modulation, which is how the receptor site figures out which chemical to bind and how that's not a black and white issue. It also studies how receptor sites change in number. Receptor sites change in number. So the point is that when you're binding these hormones, because you want to find out why you're balanced or imbalanced, what you have to come to terms with is when you're looking at your progesterone levels, the cortisol levels may interfere with the progesterone levels because the cortisol may be binding to the same place the progesterone was supposed to bind. And of course, all of these interactions that we call competitive inhibition, they all cause changes in the number of receptor sites, or there is responses on the cell membrane that we call modulation. In other words, responses to the changes in the concentration of the hormones, the amount of competitive inhibition, the nervous system, which is the other part of the endocrine system. We say neuroendocrine. How's the nervous system interacting? So let's go back. Don't get a headache yet. Don't get a headache. Just understand that if you're stressed out and your cortisol levels are high and you're trying to understand your progesterone levels or your estrogen levels or your thyroid levels, now the tip of everybody's tongue today is my thyroid's low, sometimes high. Usually on the tip of everybody's tongue is my thyroid's low. But you're not thinking about your cortisol levels. Nor is your doctor at Kaiser Permanente. And this is my point. You out there right now, what you're learning is when you're so concerned about low thyroid, when you're so concerned about low progesterone, when you're concerned about estrogen dominance, right? These are the things and the words you have some sense of, because these are the things you come running into doctor's offices talking about. My thyroid's low. I'm estrogen dominant. I have hot flashes. Something's off with my progesterone and my estrogen. You do your research. You get on the internet. You try to understand as you should. And what we're saying right now is that when you use these terminologies, hormonal imbalance, really for the most part, you're overlooking the fundamentals of what controls hormonal balance. And the one we're throwing out now is these receptor sites, they're masked, or all these hormones, they can disguise themselves as the other hormone, and they can trick your body. So a lot of times when you're low thyroid, it's really because cortisol is interfering with your thyroid production. When you're estrogen dominant or low progesterone, a lot of the time cortisol is binding instead of the progesterone. If you're having an estrogen issue, if you're estrogen dominant, meaning you've figured out through your learning, through your research, through what some doctor told you, that your symptoms, your hot flashes, your issues have to do with estrogen dominant from toxic estrogen in the inner cities, where the estrogen dominant chemicals are more pervasive. If in fact that's you, the issue may simply be that you have to get those out of your body by what? By flushing your liver. So if you've got hormones that mask each other, you've got to take a look at the hormones that are involved in that masking. One is high stress and high cortisol. A corollary to that, all your hormones, as they imbalance in the blood, in other words, when your glands make hormone, those hormones circulate. They want to bind to receptor sites on the cell so you can function optimally. But there's something the body's always doing under the control of the hypothalamus gland. And that is, it's always sending excess of those hormones to the liver, and then the liver is doing its magic. You can't talk about hormonal balance unless you talk about the magic of the liver. Now, the liver's busy. The liver's got 1,600 things to do. And part and parcel to those 1,600 things the liver has to do, it's got to make sure that the total liver power, your liver energy, has enough energy to efficiently cleave off, take off pieces of hormone, and then throw the base hormone back into metabolism so you can make the hormone you need. So if you have too much estrogen, the liver takes that estrogen metabolite in, cuts it up, and then sends its base out so you can make good estrogen, or it converts it. It sends it to its base, so maybe the adrenal glands can get it for cortisol. Or maybe in a male, so that the male can have testosterone rather than cortisol. So when you say hormonal balance, when you say you have low thyroid, when you say you have an estrogen problem, the first thing you have to think in terms of, what other hormones am I making maybe too much of that are competing with the production or the binding of the hormone I'm interested in? If I'm interested in more thyroid, well, maybe I need to think in terms of that I can't bind thyroid or even make thyroid because my cortisol's too high. If I've got an issue with progesterone, well, maybe I have to think in terms of the fact that all the toxic estrogens are binding to the sites that progesterone would otherwise bind to. And it's not about making more progesterone. It's about getting rid of toxic estrogen. Then we're talking about the liver. Now we're bringing the liver in and saying, if you make all these mistakes, the body forgives it, and it just depends upon the liver to work a little harder to make sure that the liver takes in all of this misappropriation, misproduction. The imbalance in the ratios of the circulating hormones can be compensated in the liver. That liver's our workhorse. The liver's our Clydesdale. The liver's that factory that compensates. It's because it takes all the hormones, cuts them up, gets them down to their base, and then spits them back out to be utilized as the hormone the body needs. And all of this is going on probably at the speed of light. Except if your liver is sluggish. And this is the point. How does the liver get sluggish? One way the liver gets sluggish, and the Chinese term this, is the blood circulating through the venous sinusoids gets too thick. Blood stasis, liver blood stasis, slows down the rate at which the liver does these umpteen trillion chemical reactions at the speed of light. So when we talk about the healthy liver, it just does not mean liver flushes. I'm going to get to that in a second. But if you're nodding your head because, yes, your liver's taken care of because you flushed the liver, again, you've got to get more deeply educated here. And one concept of that, or aspect of deepening your education regarding the liver, is that the liver is not just a function of doing gallbladder flushes, liver gallbladder flushes, excreting bile, which is important, and we'll get to it in a second. But the bottom line is, the other part of optimizing liver function is blood flow through the liver. Now, the Vedics, the Chinese, they've got this down in their medicines. Every old medicine, every natural medicine understood that the liver is this huge blood bank. And if you're not pulsing at the right enough speed with a low enough viscosity, in other words, if you're not thinning the blood of the body so that the liver blood, because the liver is such a blood hog, has a vitalized blood flow through it. If that's not the case, then you get liver blood stagnation and you slow down the rate at which the liver does all the things the liver does. Sorry, it's a little more complicated than you want to hear. The glandular system is powerful, but it's complicated. That's why I've done 10 shows out of 280. Out of 280 shows, we've got a good 10 hours on the glandular system. And it's not that complicated. No, it's not. And if you add the pictures to it, it's not. And you can't say, I just want to know what to do. I don't want to know any of this. I just want to know what to do. That is where you make your biggest mistake. This is about you. It's about your potential. It's about you came here to find your talents and utilize them with God's blessing and his grace so that you have a creative, long, happy life. And when you're ready to pass, you feel like you got out of your time here what you came to do with it. And that's what your neuroendocrine system is fundamentally about. It is the most subtle system of the body, and it when it goes off, when it's off kilter, you're off kilter. Your dream doesn't become reality under the mirage of imbalanced hormones. So when you get to the guts of what this stuff actually means, you can't afford to say you're not interested. You see? You can't marginalize this. We're going to go to a lot of places over the next 40 minutes. And you're going to get a ton of information. And it isn't about selling herbs, and it isn't about really anything except trying to excite you on your journey. And the notion that you don't have enough brains and you don't have enough education, I think, needs to be challenged at least to a point. But what you do have to do is dig deeper. You got to make health as important as you make finance. When health is as important as finance, that's the end of disease for most people. So we said a lot. Go to the website. Picture one. Your hormonal base is cholesterol. Cholesterol is the mother hormone. And if you go to picture two, you're going to see that all these hormones look alike. And if all these hormones look alike, when they bind to the cell, one hormone can imposter another. It can replace another. We call this competitive inhibition. In physical chemistry, you learn about all sorts of things that have to do with binding sites and concentrations of competitive inhibitors and all sorts of things that determine whether the hormone you produce is going to bind to the site or if it's going to be outbid by something else. If you have one receptor site, and you have 10 molecules of cortisol and one molecule of progesterone, forget the progesterone binding. Even though the progesterone is more appealing to the binding site, if you have 10 molecules of cortisol, the quantity of cortisol will suffice. It's sufficient to prevent the progesterone from binding, not because the cortisol is more appealing, but because there's more cortisol. All right. Then if all heck breaks loose, if all chaos breaks loose, picture three now, you've got your liver there. Your brain is going to tell your liver, look, this hormonal situation is an absolute mess. I want you to oxidize, reduce. I want you to hydrate. I want you to pull a halogen off, sulfate. I want you to use glutathione. I want you to methylate. I want you to acetylate. I want you to do all the things you do, the brain says to deliver. So you can straighten out this hormonal mess. And you can straighten out the hormonal mess, Miss Deliver. Why? Because all the hormones are basically the same thing. So just pull off a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Keep the hormonal base and then kick the hormone out in terms of what the brain says the body needs. And all of this is done under the speed of light. That's about really the way it works. So Mr. Liver balances hormone. I must be making this up. Why hasn't anybody told you any of this? So you see what I like to do. Go up to the top. Click to view the full article on the role of liver in hormonal metabolism. The role of the liver in hormonal metabolism and regulation. The normal liver function depends upon the amount of hormone in the blood, which is regulated not only by the endocrine system, but by the liver itself to a large degree. The hormonal content in the blood may be normal. When the liver function is increased, if the liver removes them intensely, if the liver removes them intensively, it inactivates them and excretes them in the bile. Now check, this is the point. This is the article up on top on the role of liver in hormone metabolism. Those of you who can't read this, just listen. It's a peer-reviewed article. This isn't coffee. This isn't your conversation among friends at Christmas dinner. This is stuff that scientists study and then publish. Read this now. If the hormone excess, I love this stuff. Why isn't this stuff at the forefront of medicine? If the hormone excess exceeds the regulatory capacities of the liver, their level in the blood increases. I mean, look at that. If the hormone excess, that means too much cortisol. That means too much estrogen. That means too much of anything. If the hormone excess exceeds the regulatory capacities of the liver, what regulatory capacities are we talking about? That means liver function. That means if the blood in the liver is too thick, the liver's in trouble. That means if your biliary system is congested, the liver's in trouble. Two reasons you will exceed via hormone the regulatory capacities of the liver. One, blood stasis. Two, biliary congestion. I mean, that's huge. This removes all doubt. This is unarguable. It means 90%, it means a large percent of the money you are spending on balancing your hormones should really go to fixing the liver. And that's my cogent argument. That's where this is leading. Fundamentals, but the money spent on buying herbs or progesterone and estrogen creams and thyroid stuff, all about balancing hormones off blood tests because it makes sense to you, the public, really needs to be augmented by hitting those fundamentals. And it's in the literature. If you look at the article I put there by Chris Kesser on the right and wrong way, he's saying the same thing. Some of us are saying to you, get off this. My thyroid's low, let me bring the thyroxine in. My progesterone's low, let me bring the cream in. So on and so forth. And again, get this straight. It's better to light a candle than curse the darkness, meaning if it's all you can do, it's all you can do. But if you really want the bang for your buck, if you really want to understand the dynamic genius of the hormonal system, if you really want to balance your hormones most fundamentally, get it straight. It's in fundamentals. And one fundamental here is straighten out your liver. All my shows on blood stasis, take a look. Take a look. All right. Just so you know, I didn't make this up. You don't hear it enough. Now let's get to the other one. You want to talk about hormonal balance? You have to look at blood sugar and insulin. So hormonal balance, liver function. Hormonal balance, stress. We'll get to it. Hormonal balance. Now let's look at blood sugar. This is huge. Oh, your blood sugar's normal. I know. Look, get to my shows. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc, not.com. That's 2Ts dot CC, not.com. All my shows on blood sugar. Two things to keep in mind. When they do the fasting blood glucose, it's telling you almost nothing about your blood sugar. Honestly, if your morning blood sugar is normal, if it's normal, it doesn't mean it means very little. You have to have at least a glycosylated hemoglobin. But really, the litmus test, if you are over the age of 50, the litmus test, the test you must have, is a glucose tolerance test with insulin measurements every hour. That's the litmus test. It tells you how much insulin you're throwing down when you have sugar in your blood, and it tells you just how high your blood sugar goes when you're under sugar stress. That's what you got to use. And you got to use it in conjunction with glycosylated hemoglobin. And then you got to get the AccuCheck, and you got to play with that meter, and you have to see how you're responding to foods. Now, I get into this stuff in my shows on blood sugar, so I'm not going to spend the hour on this tiny little topic here. You've got to have good relationship with your blood sugar. You've got to know that, for the most part, you're not over-secreting insulin, and you're keeping your blood sugar under 100 for most of the day. No, it doesn't mean you can't have the birthday cake, and it can't mean you can't have the pasta when you go to Europe or when the holidays. It doesn't mean any of that. What it means is, by and large, if the day-to-day of your food choices are throwing your insulin and your blood sugar up in the air way too high, over 100, over 110, hovering there 130 to 150, two things. One, you're destroying your hormonal balance. Men, when you don't get your erections, look to your insulin. Ladies, when you have hot flashes, look to your insulin. That's what I'm saying. When your thyroid is low, oh, the doctor told me my thyroid's low, I got to start thinking about levothyronine or Synthroid or whatever. Look to your insulin. Okay? Okay. Okay. Now, picture four. Look at it. Let's burn it into the membranes. Blood sugar regulation has a direct effect on your hormones, and blood sugar is regulated by what you eat. There, people are saying it. Blood sugar is regulated by what you eat, as opposed to berberine, as opposed to cinnamon, as opposed to chromium. See, what we've done over the years is come up with these solutions that have to do with supplementation. And, you know, I love supplementation. Herbs are fantastic. Herbs have things that food doesn't have. But while we're running around overlooking food and using herbs when we should be using basis, we end up losing the true meaning of the herb. The true meaning of the herb occurs after you've made and while you're making the lifestyle changes necessary to potentiate the herb. That's very different than overlooking the lifestyle changes and just using the herb as if it's going to work. Like, if you're using berberine and chromium and glucolipids and a whole cinnamon and a bunch of different things to basically keep your blood sugar down instead of getting rid of carbs, I think you're wasting your time. I mean, I'd love to say otherwise. I really would. I just don't see it work. And while you're purchasing herbs for the wrong reason, you don't end up figuring out how to purchase them for the right reasons. And that's the point. The wrong reasons usually lend themselves to very simplistic understandings. If your thyroid's low because you're not sleeping, if your thyroid is low because your liver blood is too thick, if your thyroid's low because you're being radiated, if your thyroid's low because your insulin's too high because of dietary improprieties, and you're taking something, say, like ashwagandha to bring up thyroid function, you're wasting your money. But it's simple for you. It's easy for you. You're busy. You have a lot of things to do. It's easy to just Google up something about ashwagandha and find out that it increases thyroxine, or noni increases thyroxine, or iodine sometimes increases thyroxine. It's easy to do that. I got to tell you, if you skip the fundamentals, really on the overall, you don't get a good return for your dollar. The return from the dollar comes in understanding what I'm talking about, what this guy Chris Kesser is talking about, what other people are talking about, focusing on fundamentals, and what you're left with in the end is an inquiry into where herbs are. Herbs are absolutely off the chart vital and will give you a return on your investment. So perspectives are imbalanced here because we're not putting health on the A list. In other words, we're not allowing ourselves to really get excited and get an understanding of this stuff. And what you sacrifice after 50 is your creative potential. You can't afford to burn out hormonally. Hormonal burnout, low thyroid, low testosterone, high synthetic estrogens, low progesterone. The body's just out of steam. And after 50, if you're out of steam, you can't capitalize on all that wisdom you've developed. Right? The old saying, if I had only known what I know now when I was young. Right? That's the old saying. Well, you are young if you can balance your hormones. You see, if you have your health, then you're still young. Then you can use all that wisdom and let it mature into bounty. So there's a lot at stake. So reach deep. Reach deep. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici telling you to reach deeper on these health topics. All right. So blood sugar, insulin. Look, books on it. Picture 5, insulin resistance. We even have a big, new juicy term for it, metabolic syndrome. The horrors of insulin resistance. What does that mean? It means blood sugar goes up, so we secrete insulin to get the sugar into the cell, and that creates, over time, a problem. Too many cytokines produced by macrophages start to competitively inhibit the insulin, and now you have to make way more insulin because you're insulin resistant. As insulin goes up, I know I sped it up. As insulin goes up, guess what? Go to picture 6. As insulin goes up, kiss your thyroid goodbye and kiss your progesterone goodbye. Men, you're going to send way more of your testosterone to estrogen as your insulin goes up. Ladies, forget about your progesterone and your estrogen dominance is going to go off the chart. Even if you don't understand any of that or you have a migraine by now, the point is this. When you imbalance your blood sugar and your insulin, you are overlooking one of the 5 fundamentals required to keep your hormones in balance. That, if nothing else, is what you have to respect here. So respect it. Picture 7, killing your sex drive one bite at a time. The biggest culprit that knocks out sex hormones is sugar. Sugar raises insulin. Men with blood sugar imbalances have trouble getting and maintaining erections and often get man boobs. How many times, if you're behind a desk coaching people with health issues, are you going to hear ED? I mean, how many times? I mean, it's like the number 1 or 2 thing that men get concerned about after 50 is the ED thing. And they're all about the herbs to reverse it. And they're all about, well, a lot of people, Viagra and the whole slew of these other things, with all their dangerous side effects, and all they had to do is run their blood sugar under 100. And, of course, they're not diabetic. This is my point. Men with the ED issues, you're told you're fine. You're not diabetic because what? Your fasting blood glucose is normal because that's what it said in your yearly physical, so you don't have to worry about it. They don't even run the glycosylated hemoglobin now because it costs too much money. So you are allowed to spend, men, you guys, you ex-football players, right? Top of the list there with this concern. You're 20, you got a 17, 18 inch neck, 16 inch biceps, thick necks, big, strong faces, athletes, you're 50, you've gained weight, your insulin's up high. But if a guy like you is given 8 hours to sleep, 3 hours to fast in the morning, and goes into Kaiser and gets your blood tested, I will guarantee you, almost invariably, your blood sugar is going to be under 100, 90, 80, 85, and they're going to tell you you're normal. And yet, if you do a glucose tolerance test and you measure insulin, you're going to be off the charts diabetic. But you're not getting those tests because your insurance doesn't want to pay for them. Because we have a system now that says only if the basic test, you got to understand this now because it's big, only if the cheapy test The superficial test, the general test shows a problem. Do you warrant the more specific test? Now, there's some wisdom to that. You know, these companies have a right to make money. There's a wisdom to that in a way. But there's also a downside to it, because you there, you were ex-football jock, ex-captain of the team, big strong guy, gained some weight, and now you're 50, and you're never going to see this. But underneath the failure of these tests, for lack of the other tests, you're running your insulin and your blood glucose. And ladies, you're the same way. You're the exact same way. And you're running these numbers too high, and that's the end of your erections. So you're going to Viagra, which is so dangerous, and the rest of these are so dangerous, or you're going to the herbs, or you're going to whatever you're going to, or you're getting into anti-aging medicine. Anti-aging medicine, which is primarily a term that's about a consortium of medical doctors. It truly is. Anti-aging medicine was something that was birthed out of the failure of doctors to really capitalize on the market back in the early 90s when medicine was going towards that HMO PPO thing. Remember, Obamacare was a big shift. There was a big shift by the Clintons back when Bill Clinton was president, and it sent medicine, AMA medicine, into a tailspin. A lot of doctors couldn't make a living, not the living they were accustomed to. I was there with them back then. They were so depressed about the changes that were coming with HMO, PPO, and the whole thing. And a lot of them birthed this anti-aging medicine. It was a boon to medicine, anti-aging medicine. And it basically became, you get your blood tested, and you didn't even do saliva tests. You did blood tests. The medical doctors would write these fancy books on how to balance your hormones. And then you'd come in, and for $2,000 a pop, they'd play around with the creams. And you'd be told, come back every 4 months because one cream will affect the other cream. And it's still strong today. And the doctors love this stuff because it's so simple to do. You can measure things and then everybody's comfortable. The problem is you really don't get dramatic results. And I don't care what the marketing says. It doesn't work. It doesn't work substantively. So we've created this whole sort of like maelstrom of concern and whittled it down to a couple of creams, and I want to whittle it down to about five or six fundamentals. All right, let's keep going. Let's talk about the electromagnetic spectrum. Why? Where are we going with this? I'll tell you where we're going to go. We're going to go to the top of my page here. Click to view the full article on pineal gland melatonin and disruption of it. Just click that on. Read this article on your own. Melatonin disruption in humans due to electromagnetic fields. It's not just melatonin. I see this all the time, especially with my females. Females bleeding. We can't balance out the estrogen with the progesterone with the rest of it. And their thyroids are also low. They gained a little bit of weight. This, that, and the other thing. And what is the bottom line? They're on jets 2 to 3 times a month because they got some sales job for some company. It is so tough, and I have solutions, and hopefully I'll get to them. But if you're buried in EMF, if you're on the cell phone all day, forget the cell phone. There's something way more powerful than cell phones. It's called the jet. If because of the job you have, your district sales manager to the southwest or the northwest or the northeast, and you're on those jets, specific to the person that you are, and you're on those jets too often, it will mess your endocrine system up. I can't even tell you how bad this stuff is. This is just one of those things that we kind of hear about. Come on, it's part of life. Who's not going to? I got a job. You know, it's funny. It's different. Medicine, this kind of medicine is different than it was years ago. It really is. Natural medicine is different than it was 10 or 20 years ago. 10 or 20 years ago, you could get by with remedies. 20 years ago, you didn't have to think drastically. 30 years ago, 60s and 70s and 80s, 50, 40, 30 years ago, you didn't have to think as drastically. Now we've got these drivers. We've got these stresses to health, and one of them is magnetic fields of increasing strength, frequency, duration, and the whole thing. The exposure to EMF is hitting levels as if to say, get out of it. Change your job. You know, you didn't say to somebody, you got a problem? Change your job. You got a problem? Move. You got a problem? Okay, go to a farm and start eating farm food. You didn't have to say that 30 years ago. We're getting to the point where it's so messed up. It truly is. Where you have to start telling people to do drastic things like that job you have as logistics sales manager that puts you on jets 3 times a month over 5 years is going to kill you. No, you can't slap on a little progesterone cream to bring up your progesterone. You can't cut a couple of toxic estrogens out of your diet and expect to stop your bleeding, ladies, because all the weight you've put on, because you're sedentary, is holding so much toxic estrogen, the levels of which are 50 times higher than they were 20 years ago, that you just can't balance it out the easy way. And this is my point. When we talk about EMF, we're talking about something big. Are your hands on a computer? Even a keyboard? 40, 50 hours a week. Are you staring at a computer screen 40, 50 hours a week? Are you staring at a computer screen under fluorescent light 40 or 50 hours a week? Are you not getting sunlight? Are you not exercising? Right there. That's it for hormonal balance. And there are solutions for everything. But depending on who you are, the solutions may be intense. If you're at a computer, make sure your hands are on a keyboard. Make sure you get natural sunlight. Make sure if you can't get natural sunlight, you change out those fluorescent bulbs. Get drastic about the things you need to do, because where you live, where you sleep, is where you spend almost 95% of your day. And on that basis, you have to think about no tolerance within reason. And I mean within extreme reason. You tell your employer what you need, or take it into your own hands if you can. You have a lot more power than you think, is my point. I'm planting the seeds. It's up to you to figure it out. Do not be helpless, because what health is coming down to now at this point are everybody takes for granted the toxic environments that we live in, and we go, come on, I got to get on a jet 3 times a month. I can't get down to the ocean. I live where I live because it's close to where I work. I can't move to a cleaner part of the city. And collectively, your profile starts looking so bad that you're trapped. And this is the reality, and it doesn't have to be. So when we're talking about EMF, the electromagnetic fields will destroy your endocrine system. It'll destroy your melatonin production. And no, you can't compensate it sufficiently. You can't compensate melatonin production sufficiently with some melatonin. It's a good step to take. You should do it. But under the duress of EMF, your entire endocrine system is going to suffer. And this is what happens. Go to picture number 9. EMFs. You see, look at that chain there from EMFs, from bad radiation, all the way to DNA damage. Look at picture 11. That's a Gauss meter. I have a Gauss meter at $300. FW Bell, get one. Don't rent an apartment if that Gauss meter says anything but zero. The place you work, you should measure in terms of its radiation outputs. Everything you're exposed to electrically, you want to know. You want to consider the total effect and then start eliminating. Start moving away from. At home, the TV set too close to your head. You go to bed at night with your head near a computer. You go to bed at night with the TV at the foot of the bed. And you leave the TV on because you otherwise can't get asleep. All of these things. Get on the website. I've done shows on EMF, radiation, solutions for it. Look at it. But understand, if you couple it with issues in the liver, if you couple it with stress, if you couple it with congestion in the biliary system, if you couple it with blood sugar issues, now we're getting to the real causes of hormonal imbalance, and you were just going to slap on a little cream. Are you getting it? Yes, you are. Now, you can do something powerful. If you'll just take the time to do this, I guarantee me you will thank me for the rest of your life. Just do this one. Look at picture number 21. Everyone can do this. You can do this. Picture 21. I want you to go up to Big Sur. Yes, you can. You can get in a car and drive up to Big Sur. You can get in the car and drive out to Joshua Tree. California has enough nature for everybody very affordably to enjoy. Do it. Yes, you can. Just do it once. You have to do it once so you can experience what I'm talking about. Picture 21, picture 22. I want you to go into pristine nature, and I want you to take clays. Go to picture 23, that magma facial mask, or any clay you trust. What I want you to do is take these clays. Why clay? Clay concentrates the energy fields of the earth, which talk to the hypothalamus to direct the signals to the body to move it into a glandular sweep. In other words, it is a massage to the glandular system. It creates a vibration that speaks to the neuroendocrine system like nothing else. Nothing else we have. No tool in our treasure chest, no herb has the power of a good clean clay. Thanks to Premier Research Labs, we have one. You take these clays, you go out into nature, and you apply these to your body parts. And you let them dry, and you rinse them off, and you put your feet in the ocean, you put them in the sand, you do it in the morning, and you spend an hour there. The early morning sun. And I kid you not, you will feel the garbage, the radiation drain out of your body. You will feel an exchange of the negative, toxic, destructive, harmful magnetic fields that you have absorbed. You will feel the exchange between those fields and the healthy fields of the earth. On a higher note, if you're spending a lot of time on jets because you've got a job to do, because it's worth it to you financially, spend a piece of that money and build in to your health practice suggestions like this. Make sure that the place you rent is in nature. Make sure that the house you've saved to buy has less house and more land. And then, if you really want to do it right, get into concepts like Feng Shui and Vastu that talk to you about how to select a site on a property where the earth's rays are more powerful and in your favor. A whole other subject, how to select the site to put your feet with. Believe me, if your daily practice was composed of getting down to the site I've just showed you, picture 21, 22, 2-3 times a week using clay, you'll know what I'm talking about. Just do it one time. Just do it one day. And you'll understand my point. And don't cloud your head with what people cloud their head with. That's ridiculous. How am I going to do that? How am I going to do that every day? You see, that's your tragedy. That is your tragedy, to think so far ahead. Rather than experience the power of what the earth can do in conjunction with intelligent choices, rather than experience it because you can't make it an everyday experience, you don't do it at all. And that's a mistake. You have to plant the seed for the tree to grow. You have to know through experience what you're missing. And then through an act of faith, you have to make things appear. And if you don't take those steps, that first step, you're missing out. So take that first step. When we talk about the endocrine system, using the clays, using the Schumann waves, the telluric waves, using the Earth's magnetic field, you can shunt your endocrine system into balance. And it really does work that way. Without which, well, Once a month in a jet, good luck. 2 hours a day on a cell phone, 40 hours a week on a computer. In place of that, what we do is we make computer protectors. We make Q-links. We make all sorts of gizmos that supposedly counterbalance things. I'm sorry. Clinically speaking, it doesn't pan out. You be the judge. You take the jump. All right. Liver function. All right. EMF. All right. Biliary stasis. All right. Blood stasis. Blood sugar. Head trauma. Under the direction of the hypothalamus go all the glands of the body. Any of the shows I've done, clenchers, those of you who clench, those of you who have improprieties up there from head trauma, where your occiput and your atlas are off balance. Head trauma blocks a functional hypothalamus, and a functional hypothalamus tells your glandular system what to do with precision. Lose the head, you lose the gland. Head trauma, jaw clenching, liver function, EMF, sleep, stress competitively inhibiting the hormones you want to bind to the site, blood sugar control. The next time you have a glandular problem, you think in terms of show number 281, The Truth About Hormonal Balance. If you're lost, if you need counsel, 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007. If you're lost in the labyrinth of help, come in for some counsel, even if it's one time, to get set in the right direction. Listen to this show again and again. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.